This is Brent DeBorn, and you're listening to the Wildcats Podcast. Woo!
Welcome to the Wildcast Podcast, coming to you from Wildcast Studios with your hosts, Adam Lund and Jeremy Boucher.
Welcome in. Thank you, Brent, for that wonderful intro. You heard him there. You are listening to the Wildcast Podcast, your unofficial voice for all things Moncton Wildcats. Jeremy, how are you? How was your Labor Day?
Labor Day was good. I didn't do much. I just used the day to relax a little bit and catch up on some recorded television shows.
Nice. Which were?
Of course, Bachelor in Paradise was up there, and my big brother as well. And
what about Labor Day game?
I did watch the Labor Day game. Yes, the
it's not much of a game
Canadian
anymore.
Football League tradition. Yeah.
The annual Stamps annihilation of the Eskimos.
That's true. It also happened once again.
Yep.
And the Hills as well. So I had my not my shows there, but the shows that I'm
reality TV
I'm being,
style.
The shows I'm being forced to watch. Yes.
Yeah, we kind of did the same thing. A little bit of shopping, Labor Day, fantasy football draft. Went and saw Good Boys, but not a whole lot. So we got a pretty jam-packed episode for you. Quick question. We're going to get into a little bit of Wildcats Central Division preview, and then we've got an interview with assistant coach Daryl Boyce coming up. You're caught up on The Amazing Race, aren't you?
I am very much caught up on The Amazing Race Canada. Yep. Yes, I am.
Speaking of shows that we were watching, that is on tonight, who do you got winning?
Any team but Dave and Irina.
But sadly, I think they are going to win.
Yeah,
I think
looks
it's
like
going to come down to them and the two Indians.
Yeah, they're in good shape. I like Sarah and Sam as well.
Yeah.
I'm
so glad Artheria and Thanesh are gone. I could not stand her crying and whining.
It was, she was okay at the start of the season, but she really started to tail off a little bit. Really got...
Got whiny.
Yeah, she did. She did. I like Sarah and Sam, especially if it comes down to a sprint. You know, they're basically two track athletes.
Yeah.
I think I like their chances of making it to the final mat if it's between them and another team.
Now, when you say Dave and Irina, you mean Dave and the person he's carrying?
Yes.
Because she hasn't. She's just like.
She's just there.
Yeah.
Doesn't do much.
She did one thing: the math.
Yeah.
That was it.
It was pretty much the only thing she's done. Everything else she's complained about. Dave's carrying that team for sure.
So when you guys watch it, are you like, do you tell each other what you're going to do? Like you and Megan? Like
Megan doesn't watch it.
She's
not into that stuff. It's just me.
You have to watch The Bachelor in Paradise, but she doesn't watch.
Yeah, she likes Big Brother. I'll let her off the hook because she likes she watches the Big Brother with me. So
that's fair.
That's Amazing Race Canada is kind of my thing.
Because that's pretty much what we do. No matter what the thing is, I'm like, I'll do it. Nope, you're doing it. You're doing it.
Anything from Heights, I'd probably pass it on to her just because it'd probably like push her off wherever. Also,
moving on.
Yeah. So, but anything that's like mental or math or, you know, a face-off where it's air hockey or
something
anything
like that.
Yeah, that's my game right there. I have a quick question for you, Mr. Adam.
this is now your thing.
This is my thing now. I'm doing the quick question.
Why not? I talk a lot.
Okay.
Or not at all. So
NFL preseason just wrapped up.
Thank God.
So I'd like to know you, sir. Who is your Super Bowl prediction?
Well, everybody wants somebody other than the Patriots. They scare you every year that they could get back because, well, they do the same thing every year. They win enough games and have home. But I took the Rams and the Texans this year. I think the Rams get back there, and I think the Texans loaded up well enough. Everybody's sexy pick is the Browns or the Chiefs, but the Chiefs just consistently show that they're not playoff performers. And so, I mean, the Texans aren't either, but I just think this is their year. Yourself?
I think this is going to be a down year for the Patriots.
Oh.
This is the, I don't do many of these predictions often.
Often.
I'm not going to tell you who's going to come out of the NFC, but I'm going to tell you the winner. What Super Bowl is it this year? 34? 58?
53.
53?
The Lie Super Bowl, L-I-I-I.
L-I-I-I-I. So the winner of, I'll just call it the 2020 Super Bowl, the Cleveland Browns.
Wow, you're going to get on that hype train.
Going with them.
All right.
Taking it.
You heard it here first, folks.
Mm-hmm.
That is quite bold.
The most original helmet in the entire history of sports.
Yes.
It looks orange. However, their team is the Browns.
Yep. I'm not actually shocked by your bold prediction. You love hot takes.
I do. Those are my specialty. But, you know, they've looked good. They looked good last year.
Yeah.
They just got... They had a little bit of bad luck. They had a lot of very Cleveland Brown moments.
they like got to get over that hype.
Missed field goals with the game on the line. Like, they're close.
Yep.
And I think, you know, this is kind of like a down year for some of the teams. So I'm going to stick with it. And if I'm wrong, I think they will make the playoffs.
Yeah, I have them making the playoffs.
But we'll see.
And if you're wrong, it's football.
You know, they picked up some
OBJ. Their defense is looking good.
Kareem Hunt. God bless that guy.
He's not playing until week 10, but that means he'll be nice and rusted.
They got money, Baker Mayfield, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, let's transition to a little bit of a down week for the Wildcats preseason. We had some cuts this week. They practiced, but they had the weekend off for Labor Day, and they get going again this Friday. But, again, just like last year, apparently it's our fault when we talk guys up. Have you noticed that?
We are definitely jinxing some of these players that are in training camp. Yeah.
Josh Crooks was let go. Gio D'Amato was let go, as well as Isaac Wilson. So my question to you, of those two, were you surprised that they were cut with guys going to camp?
Yeah, because, what they have right now still in camp is enough to field a roster, I think, for Friday and Sunday.
Yeah. Minus goaltending.
It's, they'll have to call up either Eric McGinnis or Gio. So we'll see what happens there. There's, you know, exactly six defensemen that'll still be in Moncton.
Yeah.
So that's that right there is your six that'll play. And then in terms of the forwards, I think you kind of sent me a lineup there earlier today, and
basically I just plugged names in that were still here that weren't at camps.
Yeah, and the only one that really wasn't on that roster was Dom LeBlanc. So I think just because he's kind of a local guy, he'll still get into a game.
Yeah.
And, you know, those two, like Dom LeBlanc and Jonathan DeRosier, will, you know, they'll go back to the Flyers once the guys are back from NHL camps. And, you know, the Flyers are going to have a pretty damn good team again this year. So it's going to be good for their development. And, they'll play... Dom LeBlanc will probably play top three, and DeRosier will play top two defenseman, so they'll get lots of ice time, and they're close, I guess, if you ever need them to fill in.
Yeah, I would imagine if they're going to play one of the games, they'll play this Friday when the game's actually
in Moncton.
In Moncton,
yeah.
And you know what? We can ask. He probably won't tell us, but maybe we can ask Boyce why they sent Gio home if they're just going to call him back up. But I would imagine.
Well, it's either going to be him or McGinnis, I think, depending on,
would be that Halifax Max camp is standing, so why not go let him be in camp?
Yeah.
Instead of,
Gio's with Cole Harbour Wolfpack.
Right.
Yeah. So, and then.
Good thing it's preseason, I can make these mistakes without clean it up.
I'd clean you up so bad next week. But yeah, the backup, whoever backs up will be the, it's the only thing I can't guess right now.
No. So, the guys that are in camp, Aspero to the Sens, Spence to L.A., Peltz to Calgary, Sear to Philly, and Rodrigue to Edmonton. Who do you think is going to be the last guy to arrive?
The last one to show up back in Moncton?
Back to Moncton. I got to believe it's Sear.
I'll have to go Jonathan Aspero.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because, there's a lot of talk on social media is about how impressive Sear was in Philly, but the Sens really like Gasparo, so I think they'll give him a nice long look, and you may not see him probably till beginning of October, maybe.
Right.
That's if he, of course, signs a deal. If
so
not,
speaking of deals, what is the best case scenario for Aspro and Sear, aside from not coming back with deals, which I mean would suck for them, but mm-hmm. if they're gonna get one. What do Moncton fans want to have them come back here?
Entry level contracts, I think.
So just the ELCs, not the
yeah, because ELCs basically, I mean, they're eligible to play all three, NHL, AHL, CHL.
Right.
But, no, just to, I mean, it's, I'm not sure what would be best for their development. I think, to me, I think Sear is more ready for the pro game just because of the style of play that he is. I mean, he's quick, he's skilled, he's, you know, can stick handle in a phone booth, and you know, he's got really like, I think a lot of guys in the pros really underestimate his speed. Mm-hmm. And Aspro, I mean, nothing against him, but you can kind of sense that sometimes his decision making still isn't the greatest. So I think they'll probably give him a year and another year in junior, hopefully, to work on that.
And it's always the thing with the pro deals, like, would you rather have the guy playing limited minutes in the American Hockey
yeah, that's
League
it too.
Or playing on what we're hoping is a team that's going to be up there, make a long playoff run, play a lot of minutes. It's one of those,
yeah,
one of those things, right?
Yeah, it's best for obviously better for their development to be in junior.
Yeah,
you know, they're 20-year-olds. They want to make money, obviously. Doing what they love to do. So. Yeah. If they can crack a pro, you know, get a spot in the pros, like it's kind of a no brainer. But of course, then there's they always have that option to come back as well. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. If they get offered a pro spot, I think they'll take it. It'll be another huge hit to Moncton's team. But, you know, these are Aspro and Spence Aspro and Sear and McKenna, like these are, you know, these are
I was just gonna say
born and
more.
Bred, yeah. Right? They're drafted as Wildcats into the queue. They developed here. So it's good for them. I don't think anybody would be upset if they ended up all three of them ended up in the pros this year.
Nope.
You know, I'd be proud of them. And I'd even be more happy if they came back because it
just
increases.
One more year. We just need them for
yeah,
one more year.
Yeah, it just increases our chances of being a better team.
Yeah.
But you know, it's never a bad thing when, you know, when you get born, you know, born and bred Wildcats making it into the NHL.
Yeah, and of course McKenna he signed with Stockton. He is at Flames development camp or rookie camp. There's a slim chance he could be back, but we're not holding our breath that he will be back, and, you know, more power to him if he's not. This is his dream, and
mm-hmm.
that's what you want. Sucks as a fan, but, you know, that's what these kids, they're living out their dream.
It's just, they become ambassadors for the organization.
Yeah.
Right? So, and they just, you know, their names and just get added to the wall of fame of players who came through the organization to make it to the pros, and, I think all three will be pro players, whether it be at the you know, the AHL or the ECHL level. I'm not exactly sure if they're NHL players per se. They may get a cup of coffee, but if you look at the NHL these days, it's not I mean, you know, there's always the stories of you know, players who come out of nowhere to make it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have one on the show later on.
Very shortly, yeah.
Yeah, and but it's the AHL could be, I mean, you're making a pretty, you know, still pretty good salary in the AHL compared to the NHL. So it's good for them, regardless of wherever they end up professionally.
It's one of those things that if you're doing something you love, you're not going to work a day in your life. So for them to live their dream and get paid to play hockey, whether it's in the show or in the A or, you know, even in Europe.
Overseas, which, yeah,
overseas,
exactly.
I mean, it's a pretty good way to make a living. And now, I teased a little bit earlier, we actually have assistant coach Daryl Boyce on the phone with us. Daryl, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How are you? How are things?
Doing great. Thank you.
So we're going to pick your brain a little bit. We know you're very busy, but, you know, we're going to try and get all the answers for all of our fans that that they aspire to know. You go with giving all the secrets away?
I don't know how many secrets I got, but I'll do my best.
All right. So just for me, just a question. What was the transition going from player to player personnel and now being assistant coach for the Wildcats?
It was a little different. It was good that during the player development role, I was able to be on the ice with the guys probably 75% of the time. So it allowed that transition from playing to sort of life after playing hockey. Made it a little easier. So that was great. And then just sort of learning from the coaches that came in and the staff last year as to how they conducted their work schedules and what sort of went into coaching sort of allowed me to sort of go into the role that I am today.
So when it comes to your playing career yourself, obviously you grew up on the island and you kind of took not the normal route that most Islanders would take to play junior hockey. So, you know, you played midget in Summerside, but then you ended up playing in the OHL. How did you come out getting to that route instead of going, it's like most Islanders do and you know, playing in the Q?
Yeah. So what happened during my time, PEI didn't have a Quebec Major Junior Hockey League team. So players from Newfoundland and PEI were unclaimed players and we could have declared any draft that we wanted to go into. So that was sort of the first step of it. And then the second step was that, my family sort of knew a little bit of Dave Cameron prior to me going to Toronto and being drafted by St. Mike's. So we knew of Dave, and my uncle was really good friends with him growing up. So I think we sort of leaned towards going to the OHL because of, you know, people we knew and just sort of knew that I would get a really good chance of playing.
So, you know, going back to coaching this team, this is what you were on the bench for, I think, almost every preseason game. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So how difficult is it when you're coaching, you know, in the rookie games and as opposed to, you know, kind of regular season where you can make adjustments and it's more so development as opposed to structure and things you've implemented? Like, what's the difference not to just let these kids go out and play, but try and teach them at the same time?
Yeah, so the first game was more or less that. It was, you know, just go out and play. Like, we don't have any structure. Let's see sort of how everybody can think the game out there. And we put somewhat of a game plan together, but more or less just allowed them to play. And then as we continue on, we make a little bit of tweaks and we, you know, we work on our systems throughout camp. So we implement them as we go on. So I think now, you know, we've got some neutral zone systems in place and in zone systems. So I think the second half of training camp here is going to be, you know, a little bit more geared to how we play opposed to allowing the kids show us what they can do.
Is it tough early on not to show them too much? Because, I mean, obviously you want them to play your system as they come up and they're called up. But what's, like, they're going to go back to their team and it might be a different system. So how do you kind of balance that out as you go through training camp?
Yeah, like obviously, like in the American League and the NHL, you know, American League teams try to model their sort of game and systems after whatever the big club's doing so that when the time comes and they need a call up, well, things aren't, you know, there's not 100 things new for this new guy coming up. It's basically the same system and they're going to be put in a position to succeed right off the get-go. And, you know, in the Quebec Major Junior League and where our players are playing throughout the Junior A or Mid Triple A, we don't, you know, we're not to have that luxury of having everybody play the Moncton Wildcat system. Everybody else is trying to win and win on their own accord. Yeah, so, yeah. You know, we try to give them, you know, a lot of player development things along the line or along the way as they go through camp and little things that they can take home to just become a better player and to work on themselves individually. And, in terms of team game, you know, we worry about that when they finally make the jump up to up to our club.
So it seems like Adam's going to be asking the questions about your coaching career, and I'll ask you questions about your playing career. So you spent 4 years in the OHL. You know, you go undrafted into the NHL. How did you use that as motivation in life to really get to your goal where you ended up playing, you know, for the Leafs and the Blue Jackets?
Truthfully, I just took it year by year and never really set, you know, it was a goal to always play in the NHL, but, you know, a kid from PEI, who knew how to attain that goal? You just keep going to the rink and keep playing hockey the best way you could. And, you know, I got a reality check when, you know, I went to school. I didn't get offers to play East Coast Hockey League, didn't get tryouts, didn't get anything. I had a camp in Carolina when I was going into my first year of university. So that was it. I went to university and just sort of got to live a normal kid's life again for a couple years and go to school and make lifelong friends. And hockey was sort of like, you know, secondary to getting good grades and, you know, building relationships and becoming a man during those early 20s. So, and then sort of things started clicking hockey wise, you know, it just sort of organically happened. And, you know, Gardner has a great program there, still a great friend of mine. And, he just got the best out of me. He's a great motivator. He's a great teacher and a fellow Islander, of course.
Yep. And always have to get that in there.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, I had an American League offer in Toronto my first year. And didn't take it. Went back to school, and just I thought we were gonna have a really good team, and I had an opportunity to play on an all-star team in Italy, and we ended up going to Italy, winning a championship, going back to school, winning a championship there, and here I thought I was gonna get NHL offers, whatnot, and you know, it was basically the same deal on the table after my second year. So I was basically forced out the door at UMB. They're like, you got to take this. You never know when you're going to get another opportunity. And I'm so glad that they pushed me to do that. And the rest is sort of history. I just kept progressing, just kept having good coaches in my corner along the way, because you never know, like when you're on an American League deal, you're one phone call away from going down to the East Coast and then sort of to never be thought of again. And I had a great coach, Greg Gilbert, who fought for me right out of camp. So I owe a lot to Greg.
So you finally make it to the NHL. I think it was January 2008. Your first NHL game against Washington. And correct me if I'm wrong, I know I shouldn't bring this up because it's, but you end up leaving the game with a separated shoulder.
Yep.
And you're out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I got called up in January and made the road trip. I flew back from Texas and I showed up at the rink and they told me to wait because Darcy Tucker might not play. So I waited and I waited and ended up playing. I traveled with the team for 3 days and never got the game. So I went back to the American League, got called up again. I'm actually at Basil McRae's brother, Chris McRae, was neighbors of ours in Toronto. I was living with my billet at the time during my OHL days. So we're all over at his house watching the game and Ponikarowski gets hammered into the wall. And I'm like, man, I should check my phone. and sure enough, I get a phone call probably 30 minutes later from Jeff Jackson. And he said, just meet us at the airport. We're going to Washington the next night. So within an hour, it changed. And then the next day, yeah, played a minute and 10 seconds of an NHL game. And that was it for the rest of the season.
Do you remember your first goal?
Yep.
Yeah. Which one? Like, what was it?
It was Christopher Stieg. Hold on now. Trying to remember how it went. Colby Armstrong dropped to Christopher Stieg. Verstieg shot at far pad, and I came rebound goal on Michael Brodeur in Ottawa.
Oh, nice.
January 1st, 2012, or 2011, one of the two.
The old New Year's goal.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's sticking with your hockey career. What was the biggest difference between, you know, the NHL and the European hockey in Finland and again in Germany?
NHL in Finland and Germany. Well, just the NHL is the NHL, right? Like
right,
it's a complete, like you cannot compare NHL, maybe to the Russian league, but I still don't think, but American league and like Finnish league, German league, a lot of similarities there. German league has a very high attendance rate. I think it's probably the third highest attended league in the world. Maybe fourth. I think it's maybe behind Switzerland, but it's like my last year in Dusseldorf, some games we would have like 15,000 people. So like they had great crowds and great following behind hockey. And Finnish league, the hockey, you think of Finnish and Swedish as really high scoring games, and it's actually the exact opposite. They're very high defensive teams. They trap a lot in the neutral zone. I always give this example to people. On sometimes when you dump the puck in and go for change, well, one guy will stay out there behind the net with the puck, and nine guys will change on the ice.
That's funny.
And then the one D who's behind the net, his D partner comes back and relieves him, and then that D goes for a change, and then all five guys come with speed in their breakouts, and that's how they attack. Like it's something like you'd never see. It's unbelievable, really.
Is that something you're gonna try and implement this season?
No, probably not. But it's all, you know, like it's just different styles of hockey, just the different ways hockey's played throughout the world.
Right.
So you're going into your, I guess this would be your second full season with the Wildcats organization. Last season, director of player development. How did you kind of come into that role? How was it presented to you? Who, you know, did you apply for it? Was it offered to you?
I think it was. I was applying for the director of hockey operations, and I understood, like, you know, after looking back now and seeing what goes into it, you know, I wasn't ready to be director of hockey operations by any means. But they said, you know what, there's a role that we would be looking to sort of add to the group. And we sort of discussed that, and they allowed me to sort of take on some responsibilities management side, and then sort of allowed me to stay close to the guys and build this sort of player development role within the team.
And then as coaches were relieved, you were offered to step in, or you just kind of were there and already on the ice with the guys, so it was a natural fit?
No, yeah, I was offered to step in, and yeah, like definitely wasn't here to take anyone's job or whatnot, but, you know, was ready and willing to take on more responsibility if that came about.
So just a couple last ones in terms of this season. I mean, we get on this show every week and talk about our expectations, but just give the fans kind of a coach's expectations of what this season could be.
Well, hopefully, like high pace, high tempo. You know, I expect a lot of good things from a lot of our players. You know, Jacob Pelche, Mika Seer, Jordan Spence, Aspro, got Rodrigue now, so... and then looking for guys to take jumps like Kyle Foreman, Jacob Stewart, Huddy, just having off even take a bigger step this year. So there's a lot of good guys, a lot to look forward to here for the Moncton Wildcats fans.
Perfect. Well, we don't want to take too much of your time, so we'll end her there, and we thank you very much for doing this.
Cool. No, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much for everything you do for our team.
Thanks, Darryl.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
So yeah, thanks again to assistant coach Darryl Boyce for joining us on the show. That was pretty good interview.
Yeah, it's always good to have you know, some of the guys from the actual organization join us and to talk hockey, and you know, you learn something new every day. Like I had no idea that like Darryl was mentioning, PEI didn't have a Q team, and Newfoundland. So, you know, those guys kind of had their option of doing Q or OHL. I didn't know that. So it's pretty neat.
It's funny to think that a Q team closer to the island wouldn't snap them up, right? Like,
yeah, but I guess it's kind of their choice on where they wanted to go. And he said, you know, his family knows Dave Cameron, and, you know, Dave Cameron's a pretty well-known coach in the hockey business now. So it made perfect sense for him to, you know, to head to the OHL, play for St. Mike's for 4 years.
Yeah, and then continue to play on and just show guys that doesn't matter if you're drafted or not, you know, just keep working at it like a couple of our guys that are at camps right now. So that'll end our Wildcats portion of this. Now it's time to get into division previews, Mr. Boucher. We did the Eastern Conference all now. Now we're moving to the Western Conference in the Central Division. Last year it was all Drummondville, 107 points, Sherbrooke at 77. Victoriaville at 65 and Shawinigan at 33. The shock of this division, I guess, would be the fact that, you know, Shawinigan was able to get two wins against Rimouski Rouyn-Noranda.
Yeah, that was...
They snuck into the playoffs in the last... Like, I don't think there was a single person... I would highly doubt a person in Shawinigan thought they'd get two wins against Rouyn-Noranda, if you really ask them.
No, you're right, but that's the beauty of the playoffs, right? It's anything can happen. Moncton's proved that the past 2 years in the first round. Yep. So that's the great thing about hockey. Once you get to the playoffs, it's, you know, the 1 versus 16 doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah,
that's been proven in every sport, right?
Look at Tampa Bay last year.
Yeah, Tampa Bay,
four,
Calgary.
well, that was expected. They can't get out of the first round, but whatever.
Anyways, I think some of the better sports stories is, you know, in March Madness, NCAA, right? It's not often you see the one, you know, the 16s beat the ones, but, you know, you see the 15s beat the twos, and those are cool stories. And it happens anywhere.
And both our hockey teams did it, right? In 04 and 06.
Mm-hmm.
In spot eight, they went to back-to-back finals. LA's proven it. So so with this division, I don't want to assume for you, but my guess would be everyone just rotates a position. Sherbrooke goes up, Victoriaville goes up, Shawinigan goes up, and Drummondville drops all the way to the back. Would that be a fair assessment from you?
I couldn't agree more. I think this will be Sherbrooke's division to win. Victoriaville will still have a pretty decent team. They've got...
So you think running away Sherbrooke does it? Because I looked at the rosters last night, kind of, you know, who's going to be there. And the one thing, like, Sherbrooke is loaded up front, getting Perron and Poulin, and, you know, they got Jackson Bellamy in the back. But their goaltenders, I think, have a combined 4 games experience. Whereas Victoriaville has a pretty good team. And then they've got, and I always butcher this guy's name, so I'm just going to call him Tristan.
Tristan Coty Kaznaz.
Yeah, that guy.
And Fabio Iacobo.
Fabio, yeah. So, I mean, when you look at goaltending, they've got the better goaltender. I just think that Sherbrooke is the team that loads up in the winter or in the Christmas time with a goaltender.
I'm going to... 'Cause who are they running with? Who's their... Are they going... Who's
the goaltenders?
Yeah. Halavajaj?
Yeah, Samuel
Halavajaj?
I'm going to say Lava. Okay. I'm going to guess that the H and the J are silent. So,
well, I'm going to say Halavajaj.
Samuel Lava and Thomas Segoin.
Okay.
There's four games, I think, and they just gave up Lund Corners, which is a little odd, but I think that's more so, if I had to guess, I would say they're gonna load up for the goaltender, and it's going to be Zachary Amon.
Well, Samuel Halavajaj is actually a pretty highly regarded goaltender out of Slovakia. Okay. He played in the USHL last year for Lincoln. Didn't have fantastic numbers, but he's a very good goaltender. And I think the reason why they took him in the import draft was for the main purpose to be their number one.
Okay.
So I think they will run with Samuel Halavajaj for the entire season. If Sherbrooke makes a splash at the trade deadline, here we go. Bold prediction, Boucher here. Sherbrooke Phoenix acquired acquire Jared McIsaac from the Halifax Mooseheads.
You heard it here first.
So last week it was Raphael Lavoie to Chicoutimi.
Yeah.
And I said Beau Grew to Rimouski.
Yeah.
And this week, folks, my prediction, Boucher's bold prediction, is Jared McIsaac will be traded to the Sherbrooke Phoenix.
So I don't want to give away next week's show either, but your two bold predictions, are you thinking the three teams that are potential to win this thing are Moncton, depending who we get here, Rimouski and Sherbrooke? Are those your three, or do you have a fourth one?
Chicoutimi.
Chicoutimi?
Yeah. Yeah, that's those four teams are probably... I've said Cape Breton's going to win the division. I'm sticking with it.
Yeah.
I don't think they win a championship, though. I think they're probably a team that gets bounced in the first or second round of the playoffs. But yeah, those four teams, Moncton, Rimouski, Sherbrooke, and Chicoutimi, should be kind of the upper echelon of the league this year. And in terms of playoffs, I think it's...
I mean, it's anyone's.
Yep.
It's whatever. It's flip of a coin, but... Victo, do you see them buying? Are they in a position to buy? Are they?
I think it's going to determine how close they are. Their goaltending is great. They're setting nuts. I don't think they make a move there.
No.
I think they're kind of probably two or three top six forwards and one top four defenseman away. So I think Victoriaville. You know, that's Tristan Cote Kazanov is, I'm not, is he drafted? NHL drafted? Something tells me he got signed or drafted. I can't think of it right now, but if he's not drafted, he's going to be back in the league as a 20-year-old and you know, 20.
No, he's not. He doesn't have an NHL team by his name.
Yeah, so I think he's got a good chance of being in the league again next season.
He was invited to Pittsburgh's camp in 2018.
Right. Okay, so I think he's got a good chance of being back in the league in you know, next season. So that would be Victoriaville's kind of go-for-it year. For right now, I think it's I think Sherbrooke will run away with that division.
Kind of like maybe the same points. Like Sherbrooke's got 107, Victoria will have 77. Kind of that 20-point gap range, or you think the range is a little bit... is Drummondville going to be as bad as...
Oh, Drummondville... We talked about it in our group chat. We talked about it in our group chat. They've got some guys there that they can trade. It's going to be a tough year in Drummondville. It's going to be a really, really tough year. They're missing a lot of bodies. I mean, they still got Scoobal. They still got Dawson Mercer. They still have Simoneau. Other than that,
they got Maroon. Or
Marone. Yeah. Other than that, it's
what
tough.
They have after Christmas, it's
nothing. They're gonna do everything they can to recuperate those
picks. Yeah. You look at the final team in the division, Shawinigan. I mean, they fought tooth and nail with St. John to get in the playoffs, including deciding to go on a 15-game losing streak and still squeaking in. They've got a good young team and playoff experience can do wonders. They got one of the better names in the queue and Maverick Bork. What do you think we see from, I guess, who has a better year, Shawinigan or St. John?
Shawinigan?
Yeah.
Shawinigan, they're young. But I think it's going to come down to, I think, in 2 years, Shawinigan and St. John are kind of going to dominate the queue. These are going to be two teams it's going to be their title to lose, really. But
it's kind of the division goes up. Drummondville gets it, goes to the back. Sherbrooke gets it, goes to the back.
Mm-hmm.
Victoriaville might get it, go to the back. Like it's a rotating, and they're in a 4-team division, makes it a little easier to.
I can easily see Shawinigan surprising a little bit this league this season. I think they'll be close to Victoriaville in points wise.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And my spoiler alert, my QMJHL Rookie of the Year for this season
is coming out of this team.
Is coming out of Shawinigan. So we'll leave it at that.
Very interesting. Mine is not. But again, we're going to have those on the show just before the regular season. But any other last thoughts before we wrap up this division?
Drummondville's so bad. They're going to be so bad.
Worse than Bathurst, Gatineau, Baie-Comeau. Like, are they the Shawinigan that'll squeak into that eighth spot? Are they worse than that?
It's going to be a tough year in Drummondville.
Yeah.
Going to be a tough year. Yeah.
Like, you don't see a crossover for that playoff spot, right?
Nope.
No.
No. Going to be a long year in Drummondville. I'll be pleasantly surprised if they can make it out of this season with more than 25 points.
Really?
Yeah.
So they're going to be the worst.
I think so. I think they finish.
Are they the worst this week? And we'll get into our West division. There could be a team that's worse than them coming out of the West, do you think, or no?
You talking Gatineau?
Rouyn-Noranda
is going to be good.
Really?
They're going to be a mid-pack team.
Oh, okay. I thought they would sell off like.
Oh, they'll sell off, but they're going to get off to a good start. And I mean,
look at their division.
Yeah. Right. So.
We don't want to give too much away next
week. Okay, so Drummondville is my pick to be dead last in the league.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, between 25 and 30 points. I think Baie-Comeau will probably have about 32 to 35. So Baie-Comeau will be just slightly ahead of Drummondville.
But you feel the big collapse is going to come at the end after Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't say sell anything off.
Yeah, it's going to be...
it's going to be dire in Drummondville?
Yeah. Good thing they still have the... you know, that's where the poutine was invented. So it's at least they still have that going for them.
And that's the worst part of the junior hockey cycle.
Yeah, it is.
Is they loaded up and were bounced in the third round. And, you know, there was the crossover that everyone just had an issue with. But they probably would have been bounced in the third round had they played Rouyn-Noranda.
Yeah.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. I think they probably felt better going against Halifax than they would have going against Rouyn-Noranda. And that's, I mean, you load up to go for it all, and all you had to do was get to the final against Halifax. That should be fun to watch this year, I guess. All right, so that'll end our Central Division. So join us next week. We'll get into the final division, the West Division, and then we'll rank our first round matchups in the Western Conference. So any last thoughts before we get out of here?
Put that cookie down now!
All right, I will let Layla know that that's a shot at her to make cookies because she's, it's preseason though. Everyone gets a pass in the preseason, right? That'll do it for this episode. Again, I want to take a minute to update on the Brent DeBoer jersey auction. 2 weeks left, it's at $410. If you want to bid on it, go to Moncton Wildcast Facebook page and comment your bid. And if you can't bid there, go to GoFundMe.com, search Brent DeBoer. He was on Global News today. You heard him in our intro. Let's help this kid stand for the national anthem. So thanks again for listening. And don't forget the Wildcats are at the Superior Propane Fourplex this Friday versus the Moosehead.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Follow us on social media at Moncton Wildcast.